You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. Time for a little Worldview Watch to wrap up our morning, taking our oratio and meditatio, our prayer and meditation, on Holy Scripture and using it to see through it as a lens the world that's out there around us, recognizing that we live in an anti-human age, postmodern world in which, well, we're all just kind of meat for the grinder so far as most philosophy is concerned. Yet at the same time, you know, I'm more important meat than you are. So that's the way we live every day. Pastor Bob Weiss, he is a servant at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, here to help us parse this stuff and bring us some news. What do you got for us today, Dr. Weiss?
Oh, lots of news. Let me just kind of go through so your listeners can see what's happening out there and they can shake their head and maybe have another cup of coffee or tea or whatever they're looking for. What they're doing right now, out in, believe it or not, out in California, they have this new institute called Ambrosia, which, of course, was the elixir which made the Greek gods immortal. And they're starting to use young persons, teenagers' blood, plasma, to transfuse into other people to help them become, quote-unquote, rejuvenated, especially if you're older. And, of course, this resonates to the Tour de France when they use plasma to help it create energy. So now they're starting this project. It's called Young Donor Plasma Transfusion and Age-Related Biomarkers. I'm not trying to get confusing here, but this is what some people are doing. This whole quest for immortality is ongoing. This, of course, leads into the enhancement debate, which is now percolating right along.
Can I jump in real fast? I got a question about that before we go too far. First off, I just got to say that immediately reminds me of a movie that terrified me as a child. It was Jim Henson, of all people, did a dark movie called The Dark Crystal, which was all about Buddhism at the end, but not officially about Buddhism, but effectively was. But in it, you got these things called the Skeksis, which were these like bird-like demon things, and one of them's trying to live forever, and he's capturing these little elf creatures called Gelflings and sucking their essence out and then drinking it in order to become young again. And so it's like, holy moly, it's a terrifying image to have to remember on a Monday morning. But here's my question, though, because there's two levels of the ethics on this. One is the enhancement stuff that you're talking about. But the other is just like, does this harm the young people? Is this the body parts of babies? Is this something that we know how it's going to affect the six-year-old that you're leaching this stuff out of? What is that side of this debate, or is there anything on that yet?
Well, actually, this is all coming out of what's called the Internet magazine that I look at periodically. And they say that, you know, what about what you just talked, young people, teenagers, you know, they haven't given their consent for any of this, nor are they aware that this Ambrosia is collecting $8,000 for using their blood that they donated. You know, people go in and donate blood to help sick people, you know, with transfusion for surgeries and other traumatic issues, much like we've seen happen over in the UK. And so what about, are they going to be harmed in this transition? And because they don't know that they're getting paid for. And secondarily, what they're targeting, believe it or not, is the young, poor young people. And so now we're talking about the creation of a literally a purchase kind of higher class people that are seeking to live longer. But of course, they don't understand what death is all about. And so right now, it's in the discussion mode, as you're talking about, in terms of the ethical side. But the ethical side continues to be stepped aside because this is about money and this is about seeking immortality. So the ethical stuff, there are some people writing saying this is what we should be doing, but nobody's listening to them.
Well, there's I've seen the billboards, you know, offering to give you money to donate blood, and mm-hmm. it's interesting because it's like, if you can wrap your head around it, it's verging on what's wrong with prostitution without the sex, and yet at the same time it's like, well is it wrong for someone who has an asset to survive with that asset? I mean, it's a really complex thing, and that's part of what I think makes it scary for me personally. And then, as you've said twice now, and I think this is maybe most important, what are we trying to achieve? Like, it's, you know what, if somebody's got cancer and I can give them some of my blood and it's going to help them get over cancer, I don't got a problem with that. But if they think they're going to live forever by borrowing blood from people who they're going to buy it from and those people get to die, I got a problem with that. On the one hand, they're not going to live forever. They're missing the point. On the other hand, like you said, it's like a slave race.
Yeah, this is the back to Ecclesiastes, oh, vanities of vanities. I mean, this is basically back to your movie, The Dark Crystal. I remember that movie. This also reminds me of what some people have called contemporary vampirism, where you're taking the blood out of people, and they're not even knowing that their blood's going to be used. And yet, the participants who receive that blood are charged $8,000, which is legal. But it's one of those areas now that we're getting into, what's the difference between enhancement and treatment? And that leads me into this other thing about transhumanism, which, of course, means to move a person from a human into more computer than human. And another way that they're starting to target that is over in China, they want to take people who have died, at least very early in their quote-unquote death, they want to inject stem cells into their brain, believe it or not, this sounds kind of gross, to try and rejuvenate the brain cells to bring them back to life. Now, that may sound, again, science fiction, but, of course, many ethicists are saying, hey, dead means dead. I'm glad they're finally realizing that. But this is one of those things where people are still trying to seek this whole business of immortality, which, of course, leads me and you and your listeners to say, why aren't we teaching more on the whole issue of the apostolic teachings of creation, redemption, and sanctification? Again, I am harping on this whole issue with pastors, DCEs, and all of those church professionals and lay people. We need to be more teaching the scriptures and the catechism on what it means to be a human in Christ and get back to our Christology on this whole issue of dying and death and enhancement, and thinking that if we're going to enhance people, maybe we're going to enhance their morality as well. But
it never ceased to amaze me in the parish, because it happened more than once. I was always surprised by how surprised people were by death. And it wasn't that they were surprised just with the grief. I mean, I get that. Like, oh, this is sad. It is. It's terrifying. Yeah. It's horrible. It's an experience you don't want. But it was more like people in their golden years, you know, facing illnesses that they'd had for 2-3 years, battling cancer, what have you, and they would go into it kind of as if there was always going to be a way out. And these aren't hardened pagans. These aren't radical secularists. These are good Lutherans. They come to church every week. They believe the gospel. They confess the creed. And yet they're surprised by death. And so there's something there about kind of losing in our worldview a part of what we do believe. You know, the Spirit works and engenders that faith in us, but we haven't like brought it to the front of our brain and used it to kind of look at, well, I know this is going to happen. And one of the things another brother pastor said to me once, which was very helpful, was to conceive of my job as a pastor is I'm preparing you to die. That's all I'm doing. That's all the pastor does. He's getting you ready to die. And more American Christianity is not doing that at all. They're trying to convince you that everything's about right now. And I think that's part of the leaven in the whole lump.
Well, yeah, and everything's about, you know, I pass different places and they talk anti-aging, this anti-age. Everything's about anti-aging, which is also anti-death. I mean, we do die a biological death, but in Christ, we don't die. This is why we've mentioned before that when the scriptures talk about dying in Christ, they call you asleep in Jesus. The word sleep is always related to people who die in Christ in the scriptures. Those who do not live in Christ and die apart from Christ are called sleepers. And that's biblical. That's the way we need to be teaching. Not that death is scary, but are we really teaching about dying and death like what we do at Graceside Committals? That, you know, we will be raised in a glorious body. They talk about euthanasia, the good death, but let's talk about the good death that comes in Christ. And because this euthanasia now, they're talking about getting it passed in New York, the state of New York, assisted suicide, and they're using Canadian assisting and dying death, which is, they just started that. So all of this stuff, I think we're back to, as we repeat this over and over, and you do so well at this time and throughout KFUO radio, is what about living the life of Christ in this world and knowing that Christ has conquered death by his death on the cross and the resurrection? And that's why perhaps maybe some older people, when you visit them as a pastor or just a friend, and they say, hey, I'm ready to go to Jesus. And some people say, oh, no, that's the tension that comes with us where love says, I want you to stay, and love says, I want you to go. So we're right kind of right back to what you do so well on his time is teach. And we need to be teaching more about what it means to live a life in Christ. And that, death really, from the standpoint of a Christian, is a gain, because now we have the sure and certain hope at our Sabbath rest of eventually being resurrected in a new glorious body.
Amen. I don't want to make it sound as if somehow I'm above all this, right? I mean, I want to live. No. You know, I want to be healthy. I want to stay active and able as long as possible. I want to see my children's children, as Psalm 28 kind of said, as a blessing this morning. So it's not like there's not even some good to that edge of things, that first article good, if we can call it that. The problem is when we forget the fall, and that no matter how good the first article might be right now, as God sustains it, it's broken beyond ultimate repair outside of death and resurrection in Jesus. And that means our own deaths or that twinkling of an eye moment when the whole thing burns, right? We only got about 2 minutes left here, and you mentioned you had a laundry list, so I'd like to hear what else you got. I took us down a rabbit hole there.
Well, no, that's okay. That's fine. I mean, Paul talks about, taking stewardship of your body, exercise is good for you. So, but godliness is better. So, So at any rate, the one thing is that this enhancement debate continues about moral enhancement. And this is out of the Cambridge Quarterly. I just don't want to get much into that. But this is a debate of how can you enhance morality through genetics. Kind of goofy, but that's kind of what's going on. And China is going to start. And then some of the fellows over here in La Jolla, California, are picking up on this. And I mentioned this earlier, they're going to start to inject embryonic stem cell. That debate is coming back up into people with Parkinson's, and to see if that works. And here in the United States, that particular trial has not worked. So we have that situation going on. And then we have the whole issue of CRISPR, which we've mentioned before, where it's called gene editing, where they can edit your genetic code to try and correct, say, bad genes and put good genes in. What they're finding out in mice is that, yes, it has done some help. However, it has also created some mutations. Mutations are simply bad genes. And they're not sure what they will do. They're not sure how far this will go. But right now, that's running up a red flag, because if you change the genetic code to treat a person and you end up with mutations and not knowing what they are, it could affect future generations. And so it may not show up in their trials. And so now this whole issue of gene editing has been put on hold. The last topic here is...
I got to actually jump in. We only got 15 seconds left here. And it's plenty to chew on, and we'll pick up some more next week. My guest, Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Thanks, Dr. Weiss, for being with us today.
My pleasure. Godspeed.
Absolutely. And, if you haven't, go Google the Skeksis and watch them drink the life essence of Gelflings, and Google Gattaca while you're at it. Put it in your Netflix queue and watch that one, because those are the questions we're facing as real things. They used to be sci-fi. It's where we're living now. And Christians, you better be applying what you believe and why you believe it to what you see, or you're going to be hit off guard in ways that you don't expect. Let me give you the best thing to apply. This is the fact. Our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And while it may not be today or tomorrow, it could be. And in any case, I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.